At 8:22, this is KERA News. I'm Sam Baker. Governor Greg Abbott has called Texas lawmakers back to Austin for a special session to address legislation to keep major state agencies open. Now, once that's taken care of, the House and Senate can move on to 19 other items on Abbott's agenda. That includes strengthening a measure the governor just signed into law, a ban on texting while driving.
I'm calling for legislation that fully preempts cities and counties from any regulation of mobile devices in vehicles. We don't need a patchwork quilt of regulations that dictate driving practices in Texas.
Beginning September 1st, the statewide ban prevents drivers from texting while driving. Drivers could still talk on the phone if they have a hands-free device, and the measure doesn't cover GPS systems or music apps. Violators face a misdemeanor charge and a fine of up to $99 for first-time offenses. In Texas, one in three men report facing intimate partner violence in their lifetime. This month, the Dallas nonprofit The Family Place opened one of the country's first shelters exclusively for battered men and their families. As part of our Breakthroughs project, Lauren Silverman spoke with one victim, recalling him Jeff, to protect his identity.
There wasn't time to pack. When Jeff finally decided to leave with his two daughters, they jumped in the car and sped away.
I went and got cash out of the ATM as much as I could pull, filling up the gas tank. About the second store that I was in, I get a message that I'm shutting off the debit card. Because by then, she figured out we weren't coming home.
The problem? Where to go next? After two decades of emotional and physical abuse, Jeff, who's in his early 40s, says he had no friends, wasn't allowed to go to church or make decisions for himself.
But you love this person. You've entered into a marriage covenant, sickness and health, better for worse. Well, I know you threw a cell phone at me. I knew you threw your glasses at me, but it's for better or for worse, right? I know you said you didn't mean to push into me or open that door in my face or our child's face, but it's for better or for worse, right?
Jeff and his older daughter created a safe word. When it was bad enough that they needed to leave, she'd say that word. One day, it got that bad. Jeff started calling down the list of domestic violence shelters in North Texas. The responses were crushing.
The thing that you get the most is they only serve women. We're sorry to hear you're in the position you are. We're here to support you, but we only serve women.
As a society, we don't necessarily see that men are capable of being the targets of partner violence.
Emily Douglas is an associate professor of social work at Bridgewater State University in Massachusetts. She's one of the nation's few academics who study male domestic violence victims. She says in relationships, men and women use violence at roughly the same rates. Yet men have far fewer places to turn. Men like Jeff.
I'm an educated man. I have done multi-million dollar corporate construction projects. I couldn't figure out how to get my way out of a house with my girls.
Men stay in abusive relationships for the same reasons women do. Again, researcher Emily Douglas.
They say that they love their partner, that marriage is for life, and if they leave, they're afraid that they will lose access to their children, which is the same kinds of things that we've been hearing women say for decades.
And yet a study of male victims who called domestic violence hotlines shows only 8% found them very helpful. 16% said the people at the hotline dismissed or made fun of them.
Providers oftentimes aren't really prepared to deal with anybody other than a straight woman.
The day after Jeff and his daughters finally left home, the very first shelter for men opened in Texas.
So we have two floors of bedrooms.
Paige Flink is CEO of The Family Place. It's a nonprofit that's offered domestic violence help for decades. She's showing me around this wooden two-story house in Dallas, which has been converted into a shelter.
In the past 2 years, we kept seeing an increase in men seeking shelter. First, we thought it was an aberration. We weren't sure what was going on, but it just got more and more expensive.
Flink was spending $150,000 a year putting up male victims in hotels. She and some other shelter managers across the country say it makes financial and therapeutic sense to provide a safe space specifically for men. The very first one, called the Taylor House for Men, opened in Batesville, Arkansas, 2 years ago. Shelter manager Bill Miller says he got some strange looks when he told people about his new job.
People tend to think of battered only when they think of domestic violence. Well, there's much more to it than that. It can be psychological. It can be financial. It doesn't have to be significant other violence. It can be father on son, son on father, family members. You know, there's any number of ways that this manifests itself.
So far, more than 30 men have stayed in the Arkansas shelter.
But clearly there is a need. We get calls from all over the country.
Researcher Emily Douglas is thrilled more shelters are opening for men. But she wonders if it's always necessary to separate men from women. The idea is that being exposed to the opposite sex could hinder recovery.
But if you are a man in a relationship with another man and you are being abused by that individual, maybe it actually would be helpful to be surrounded by women. I don't know.
It's new territory for researchers, just as it is for folks running shelters. The managers at the Arkansas shelter and the Family Place say they'll see if this approach works. First to test it out in Dallas, Jeff and his two girls. Sitting inside a bedroom with bunk beds and a TV, Jeff says it feels like he's finally pulling his head out of a cloud.
And even after you pull yourself out of the cloud, it still takes time to say, where am I? Who am I? I mean, I know I can do all these things, but really, who am I anymore?
Jeff isn't sure where he'll go next, but he's beginning to make decisions for himself and his daughters again. This week, after 6 years, he's excited to take them back to church. Lauren Silverman, KERA News.
Coming up on the BBC News Hour, the latest from Iran. Gunmen burst into the Iranian parliament while a suicide bomber attacked a shrine in Tehran. And efforts continue in the Middle East to mediate a diplomatic dispute over Qatar. News Hour begins at 9 o'clock. In the forecast, we've got a 20% chance of rain, otherwise mostly sunny skies with a high near 88 this afternoon. Look for temperatures to drop to around 67 overnight. Should be partly cloudy then. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high near 90. It's 75 degrees in Dallas, 73 in Fort Worth, 70 in Wichita Falls, and 74 degrees in Tyler.